Hello and welcome to Grace in Focus. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society, and I'm very excited that you've joined us, partially because we're going through the Psalms in our current series, but also because we're going to explore one of my favorite categories of Psalms, which is Zion Psalms. Today on the program, we have special guest and guide, if you will, David Renfro. Let's go right to today's discussion with David, Dr. Bob Wilkin, and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
Thanks for tuning in to Grace in Focus. We are so grateful that you're listening in with us, and I hope that we can be a blessing to you, especially as we go through the Psalms with my friend David Renfro. Thank you for being with us, David.
It's a pleasure to be here.
I'm learning so much from you through the Psalms, and we're just barely touching on these things. We're just touching on the categories of the Psalms. Did you know that there were different categories of Psalms? Today, we are going over one that even I haven't heard of. What is this category we're doing today?
The scholars call it the Songs of Zion.
The Psalms.
Is that something to do with Pennsylvania? No. I think there's a Zion, Pennsylvania.
Texans have this joke, you know, what county is Pennsylvania in?
Well, I think you said in the last episode that Zion, although it might refer to all of Jerusalem, it particularly refers to the temple and the worship of God. And so that when we think of Zion, we're thinking of temple worship.
It's a figure of speech. We hear it today. Listen to a news program and it'll say, the White House said today.
Right.
Well, the White House is a building. It didn't say anything.
Right.
It represents somebody who works in the White House. Zion, when it refers to Zion, is kind of the same thing. Zion represents, or is a term used to signify where God dwells amongst his people, which is the sanctuary in Jerusalem on Mount Zion.
Okay, interesting. All right, so what's the purpose of these Psalms?
These are, for lack of a better way of saying it, these are celebrations of Jerusalem. Because Jerusalem was the dwelling place of the Lord.
And the chosen city.
It was the chosen city. It was the centerpiece of the religion, culture, political aspects of it. Jerusalem was the center of everything in Israel back then. Hmm. And so these psalms, like I say, there's not a lot of them, but there are some psalms that have as their emphasis celebrating Zion or celebrating Jerusalem as the city of God, as his dwelling place. And that's the point of these.
Well, give us an example. What psalm does that?
Psalms 46 is a psalm of Zion.
All right, Psalm 46. Now, who wrote that one?
This is a psalm of the sons of Korah.
Oh.
And, you know, there's a little bit of disagreement as to who the psalms. Korah, there's other scriptures that talk about the sons of Korah as being musicians. And it's that group that were part of the worship. Just like we've talked about with Asaph, he was part of the worship in the temple. These sons of Korah were also, because they were musicians.
Were they like the Beatles, like the Sons of Korah? Is that the band?
That's right. Yeah. The Sons of Korah were a music group, what we used to call back in our day a combo.
So it also says a song for Alamoth.
Alamoth, yeah.
Alamoth.
It's titles, if you will. Some of these words, really, they don't know where they come from. There's disagreement, and it's probably, and we've talked about this in previous episodes, that they will take a song that's really popular in their culture, and they'll apply these religious words to it.
Mm.
It would be like taking a Beatles song.
Right.
And putting the words of one of these psalms to that Beatles song.
Right.
The tune.
Right.
That's kind of what's going on here.
Okay.
This is a psalm that is one of great praise for the Lord, because, I mean, here's the Lord that is chosen to dwell amongst his people,
right,
which is radical.
Right.
Here he is, dwelling in the midst of his people. The mere fact that he's there should be a source of comfort to his people, that he's going to protect them. He's going to provide for them. All they have to do is obey. All they have to do is go along with what he says, and the Lord will provide all these things. This God, this protector, provider God, lives in Jerusalem.
Well, I love how the psalm starts. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that is a message that I think we can all identify with. God is our refuge and our strength.
Well, and look at the first phrase of the verse 2. Therefore, we will not fear.
That's good.
during this time of coronavirus, my opinion, it's a great testimony for us Bible-believing Christians not to live in fear or to show fear to the world. Because we believe in a God who is a refuge and strength. He's in control. Mm-hmm. And there's a reason for this. I don't know the reason. He's not clued me in on that.
Right.
But we can rest in the fact that he is in control.
Absolutely.
And why should we fear? I think that's a very important message. And then he goes on. He says, you know, though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, do you think that would be traumatic to go through an earthquake and see a big old tall mountain go into an ocean?
That'd be a little worrisome.
Well, somewhat.
A little bit.
Yes. And that's what he's trying to say. Even if there is huge chaos in the world, even in the natural world, who is our refuge? You see, that's what he's doing. And by the way, we go to that refuge in Zion, and that's the point of this.
That's good.
Okay.
Now I wonder about that, because now he's going to root this as, we don't need to worry because this is the city of God, this is the tabernacle's here, God is in the midst of us. So it sounds like, you know, are we wrong to say, but this could also be true of us? Could you say, no, this is only true of Israel, because that's where God's presence is?
No, compare this to what the New Testament said. What did Paul say in Corinthians?
Yeah, about your body. We're the temples of the Holy Spirit.
Right. Mm. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. In other words, God dwells in us, not in a building anymore. That's one of the differences, the contrast, if you will, from the Old Testament to the New. Yes, there's a pattern. The pattern in the Old Testament was God dwelt in the midst of his own sinful people. In the New Testament, he dwells in the midst of a person. Our body is his temple now.
Right.
But which means I think these principles here in this Psalm 46 still apply, because God is in the midst of his people.
Right.
Wow. So the place of refuge is even closer.
Much closer.
If you're in Jerusalem, you couldn't really get to the Holy of Holies. You know, you can get to the temple, kind of certain parts of it. But for us, the presence of God in us is obviously a lot more intimate.
Absolutely. And it's because of the sacrifice of Jesus. We are, as far as, you know, we are legally sinless.
Well, in fact, at the cross, while he is on the cross, the temple, as he dies, the veil is torn from top to bottom, indicating now the presence of God has been opened.
That's right. And
the way to him has been opened through the death of Messiah.
And see, that's one of the things that I really hope everybody does study the Old Testament in detail, because in my studies in Exodus and Numbers and various other places, I appreciate more what Jesus did on the cross more. I don't have to do hundreds of animal sacrifices a year like the Israelites had to do.
Right.
I don't have to do that. Why? Because Jesus paid it all.
Right.
And I appreciate it all the more.
Amen.
From my study of the Old Testament. And this is one of those psalms that celebrates that, if you will. The second part of it is in verses 4 through 7, and the message of verses 4 through 7 is God is in Israel's midst, so they can be confident. Notice one of the commentators I read was, he said, look at verse 4, there is a river whose stream shall make glad the city of God.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a beautiful, beautiful thing. The streams were probably the springs that sprung up underneath Mount Zion. Most of the time when you had a city, they had to be near a water source for the population. Zion's on a mountain. It's a mountain, not a lake, not a river. So the Lord, in his incredible sovereignty, had springs flow up into this mountain to where even if Jerusalem was under siege, the people were provided by these springs.
Wow.
I mean, that's extremely rare in the natural world. But the Lord did that, and that's why this is an incredible. The Lord provided, even in the midst of bad stuff. Look at verse 6. The nations raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice. The earth melted. And then I love verse 7. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge.
Mm-hmm.
So the Lord of hosts, that's if you want to hear some Hebrew, with a Texas accent, I might add, is Yahweh Tzabaoth, the Lord of hosts, the Lord of armies. And that Lord of armies, even in the New Testament, even with us, he is the Lord of hosts. He is on our side.
There's a verse that I've often seen in Christian gift shops and you know, on coffee cups and posters. Verse 10.
I was going to get to that.
Be still and know that I am God. What does that mean?
Based on what I hear, it's completely misapplied.
Okay. Yeah.
Because the context, we use it as a verse of comfort. Be still. Relax.
Right.
You know, that kind of thing. But if you look at the previous verses, he's talking about the kingdoms rebelling, making war, and all that stuff. This be still and know that I am God is directed toward the rebellious kingdom.
So like he says in verse 6, the nations are raging.
Right.
And then he says in verse 9, he breaks the bow and he cuts the spear and he burns the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. So it sounds like he's speaking to the enemies, first
he
of
is.
All.
The pagan nation. Yeah.
He is speaking to that.
So he's saying, stop raging, or what is he saying? I'm about to destroy you? What is this?
Yeah, well, they need to recognize that he is the Lord of all salvation. He's the Lord of the earth. So they need to use a contemporary term, shut up.
Uh-huh.
And observe what's going on. If I can destroy your chariots without even firing a shot, What kind of God do you think I am, the Lord seems to be saying here. Mm.
So, yeah, and notice how it says, after be still and know that I am God, it says, I will be exalted among the nations. That's the goyim, right? That's the Gentiles.
That's the goyim. Yeah, I think the lesson here is very important. God's covenant people, and by the way, you and I are God's covenant people. It's a new covenant, but we are God's covenant people, should rest in the knowledge that he is always present with us. Always. In the midst of world chaos, God is our refuge.
Well, thank you so much, David. This is a fantastic psalm. And this Psalm of Zion, as you say, has strong application for us today. God is our strength. God is our refuge. And we look forward to the day when God is going to restore all things, when he is going to bring in his kingdom, and then ultimately a new heavens and a new earth. And we say with the author of the book of Revelation, come quickly, Lord Jesus.
Thank you guys for that great discussion. Maybe you'd like to go deeper on the subjects that we cover in this show. And if that's the case, we would love for you to come visit us at our website, faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On our site, we have free magazine subscription. We have teaching videos, podcasts, blog posts, all kinds of free materials that are designed to help you grow and mature in your understanding of Scripture and faith. So come visit us at faithalone.org, faithalone.org. This show and all of our ministries are made possible from the generous donations of listeners just like you. I hope that you might consider becoming a financial partner with the Grace Evangelical Society. If so, you can find out how on faithalone.org. We love to hear from listeners just like you. Maybe you've got a question or a comment or some feedback. If you do, we want to hear from you. So here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. radio@faithalone.org. Tomorrow on the program, we're going to take a look at the category of psalms called Pilgrim Psalms. You're going to want to tune in for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with Grace Evangelical Society, and until next time, let's keep grace in focus.